Welcome to the Delve, Spirit and Truth Podcast,
where we wrestle with questions from the pew.
This is Casey.
And this is Jenny. Today, we're going to delve into the body-mind-spirit connection. And today, I have Melanie Reinke here.
Hi.
Melanie is a friend of mine. She's also the wonderful producer of this podcast. We are so thankful for her. And she has some pretty powerful testimonies that we want to talk about on the subject.
So my son, he's grown now, but when he was 19, he had gone off to college, and first semester, a lot of pain, a lot of fatigue, and it was just very challenging. He had gone to a number of doctors and came home that Christmas and basically went to an orthopedic because he was in so much pain. And through God, I believe this orthopedic said there is nothing wrong with his shoulder or whatever it was that was hurting at the time. You need to go see a rheumatologist. I think this is arthritis, which was the first time we had heard that. And he had been having this kind of pain really back into high school. So we took him to a rheumatologist. He was diagnosed at 19 with rheumatoid arthritis, which they said probably or could have been juvenile arthritis as well if he had been having that pain back into high school. So,
and so my mom actually is a rheumatologist. And so just calling and visiting with her, there's two blood tests that they do that really help them diagnose or help solidify the diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis. And so one is the RA factor. And another one, do you remember what the other one's called?
I don't remember what the other one's called.
Like ACV or yeah, something. And she says that that other one is even more conclusive for RA because people can come back with an RA positive blood work and not actually have RA. But the other one, I think it maybe measures inflammation.
Yeah.
In the blood is even more conclusive. But so how did his blood work come back?
The secondary, more conclusive test came back positive.
Right? Okay. So the pretty strong diagnosis.
Yeah, there was no doubt.
And then he went on medicine. Did that help?
Yeah. You know, they typically like to start off on the low end. They don't want to just jump right into these immune suppressants. So I think 2 or 3 months he was kind of on what we call the starting medication, and it didn't help at all. And went back to college and was still struggling. And then COVID hit. And so he got to come home and we were able to watch him more closely. If anything good came out of COVID, it was, you know, that he was home with us and we were able to actually get his medication to a point where he was feeling better. And he did have to go on the immunosuppressants.
So what were the symptoms like whenever he wasn't doing well on medication?
He ached a lot. He played the piano since he was 5 years old, and he could just sit down and before and play, you know, as long as he wanted to play. But he got to the point where he couldn't play the piano for more than probably 10, 15 minutes at a time without just his fingers really hurting.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was stiff all over, very fatigued. He could sleep, and still feel like he hadn't slept at all.
So once he got on the medicine, did that improve his symptoms?
It took some time. It improved. It didn't cure him, of course. I mean, he still struggled with fatigue. He still couldn't play the piano for more than probably 15 minutes at a time. In fact, what he did, because he loves music so much, he switched to the guitar and taught himself to play the guitar because it didn't hurt his hands as much.
Gotcha. And so can you talk about how this made you feel as a mom, especially in regards to God and his goodness and his promises?
Well, first, I want to say he handled it better than I did. As his mom, I was devastated. I thought, are you kidding me? 19 years old? If he lives to 70, 80 years old, he's going to be on medication all this time. What does that mean for grandchildren? What does that mean for any other diseases and being on an immunosuppressant? And so what does that mean for the rest of his life? And so I was really just heartbroken to think that this was something that was going to affect the rest of his life. And he had even said, you know, the thought occurred to him that he might not have children because he didn't want to pass this on.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's super hard. I know as moms, like we tend to, number one, jump to the worst case scenario,
right,
and fret over that. And then we don't end up walking in love with just hoping the best. And sometimes we just let it really wreak havoc in our own lives over fear and sadness over.
Oh, absolutely. Jump to, I'm never going to have grandchildren.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I had jumped to the very end.
Yeah. And that's hard and that's difficult. So y'all started coming to our church.
We did. It was probably... So about a year and a half ago now, I'm thinking, yeah. And he was at home at the time. He had not graduated college, so he had started coming with us.
We were, although very biblically based in the way Casey teaches is, you know, line upon line in scripture, and so definitely deeply rooted in the truth, was there some things that really pushed maybe your comfort zone because of your conservative evangelical background?
Yeah, I really had to grow along with... You were ahead of me, of course, but as you were teaching what you learned, I was having to come up behind you learning about how much God still works today. And because I had been diagnosed with Lyme disease, so I had been struggling with that ever since Asa was born. And so here I was diagnosed with Lyme disease. Here's, you know, my son with, you know, RA. And I thought, well, God just... you know, is allowing us to be sick for a reason. He doesn't want to heal us. What we had learned.
There's good things that can come out of this.
There you go. God is doing this for his glory, you know, that type of thing. So I did. I had a hard time believing that God not only, I knew he could heal, but I didn't think he would heal. That was really where I was stuck.
Or even making it more personal, if he would heal you, if he would heal your son.
Right. You know, I had actually more faith for my son than I did for myself. And I think probably because I had been praying for many, many, many years, because he also had been diagnosed with multiple life-threatening food allergies. You know, I had just prayed for a whole and complete healing for him for many, many years. But even standing in the midst of people telling me, it can happen. He wants to heal. There was still doubt.
Right. Because life tells us that there are people that are not healed, that there are times the Lord did not heal. And so we somehow try and reconcile that. And so we reconcile that. A lot of the Western church reconciles that with doctrines of, well, that's not how God works anymore. But we have the scripture that's like, pray believing you have received and you will be healed. And to me, what that scripture is saying is, you're praying, you haven't received it, but you're supposed to believe that you've received it, even though circumstances are telling you the opposite. And many times one might say that that feels like believing a lie, right? And so we're so intellectual here that surely God doesn't want us to believe a lie. And so how do we reconcile to believe something that we are seeing solid evidence is not true? But then it's saying what happens when we do that is that then we will be healed. And so it's like there's something about the way that we think then helps open the door for healing. You think about Jesus going into his hometown and saying he could not do many great works because of unbelief. So there's some sort of tie. And no, we're not blaming not healing on the person's faith, but we are saying that there seems to be some biblical precedence to some sort of principle there.
Again, the reason I believe that God could heal was because he's God. But the reason I wasn't sure he would heal was because I didn't really know his character. I didn't really have a proper belief about how he thought of me, thinks of me, how he thinks of my son, how he thinks of my husband. And when Paul said, I pray that you would all come to understand how high and wide and deep and long God's love is for you, I didn't understand that and still struggle to understand that. Just my background didn't believe that.
Right.
And
yeah.
So I think that's why I had a hard time believing God would. He could do it for someone else.
Yes.
But
yes.
Not for me or
and
my
it,
son.
And it's hard because it seems so reasonable to us that it doesn't feel like unbelief. It feels reasonable. It feels, in fact, we make whole doctrines surrounding, you know, why God doesn't work that way anymore. And really what we're doing is contradicting God's word and what he says to be true. So I just want to back up just a little bit. Y'all know, most of you that have been listening to the podcast know my history. And then I started learning about inner healing, started facilitating that. until there was manifestations of the demonic. And then I had to learn about that. And then I started seeing healing after these inner healing and deliverance sessions. And so then that was a new thing that stumped me, where I was like, okay, God, there seems to be another connection here that I was unaware of. What's going on? I'll give you an example. There was a lady that I worked with, and we cast out a demon, and she got physical healing from a 30-year back injury, where it was a physical thing that had happened to her. There was a physical crushing that happened. She wore back braces ever since then. But all we did in the session was cast out a demon that actually manifested. And on the way home, God prompted her to just pray for wholeness for her body. And so she did. And the next day she realized that her back was completely healed. Mm. And so it was really interesting. And so I started on this search. I'm always in the pursuit of more understanding. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what can I find on this subject matter? And I came across this really great ministry called A Better Way. It was Dr. Henry Wright, had done a lot of works. He's passed away since then. But he had found a lot of these connections between our thinking patterns and what happens in our physical body. In fact, I'm friends with a few doctors, and they report to me that in doctor school that they do teach that there's a body-mind connection. So this is well accepted among our
medical society.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even just among society in general, people would say, if you're depressed, it manifests in your body. If you're anxious, it manifests in your body. If there's bitterness, anger, it manifests in your body. So I think that that's something that people probably saw first, and then medical science came along and said, oh, yeah, we agree.
Yeah, there's a connection here. So Henry Wright spent his whole ministry, he dedicated his life to this whole concept, and he found a lot of principles and patterns. And so he has some fascinating material explaining that. But I'll give you a for instance. In Scripture, it says there's the parable about the man that was forgiven the huge debt that he was going to be given over to the debt collectors. And he said, have mercy on me. And his master had mercy on him and forgave his debt, let him go. And then he turned around and found someone in the street that owed him very, very little money. And he threw him in jail and he said, pay me back every penny. Well, so some people witness this. So they go to the master and they tell him what happened. And he calls him in and he says, you wicked servant, I forgave you this huge debt and had mercy on you. How could you turn and be so merciless to this other person? And then it says that he delivered him over to the torturers until he paid back every cent. And we know that God speaks in parables. Jesus taught us in parables, and that this parable is about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. This parable is about being forgiven so much that everything that we've ever done has been against God, and Jesus paid for that. And so when we turn, we hold unforgiveness against someone, even if it's legitimate, even if, you know, they have wounded us deeply, it's still nothing in comparison to every sin that we've ever sinned against God, mm-hmm. right? And so if every sin that we ever sinned against God was equal to, let's say, $1 million, and someone barely hurt you and it's worth $15, or someone significantly hurt you and it's worth $10,000, or someone devastates you and it's worth $500,000, it's still not in comparison to how much we've been forgiven. And so it's hypocritical of us to hold this unforgiveness whenever we've already been forgiven more than this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's Matthew 18. And even what he says is, you wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt because you begged me to. And forgiveness was such a key. And I do have permission from my son to talk about this, kind of giving me blanket permission. Anybody who wants to hear about it, you can tell. So I didn't want you to think I was telling all this stuff on my son. But he had been bullied in school quite a bit. And there was definitely bitterness and unforgiveness and a lot of anger over that.
So what's interesting is Henry Wright equated this torturing, that the Lord delivers people over to be tortured many times, to things like arthritis and pain in the body, because it's torture. Pain is torture. And so he noticed a lot of patterns of people with unforgiveness that had physical pain in their body, particularly arthritis. And so when he would teach people to reverse their thinking, forgive people, let go, the body would also manifest that as well. And a lot of times the pain would leave, or there would be restoration in joints or different things like that.
And what's amazing is that arthritis in America, according to the CDC, estimates that 1 in 4 people in the U.S. have some form of arthritis.
Wow.
So that's over 53 million people. That's a lot of unforgiveness.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? It just hit me while you were talking about arthritis and unforgiveness being connected. And I thought, anybody listening to this, 1 in 4 has arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you have unforgiveness? Maybe.
Yeah. We're not saying that's the only reason you have arthritis.
Of course
not. We're saying that it can be.
Absolutely.
And so I had prayed for a lady at church. She came forward for prayer. She had arthritis in her hand so bad it was getting hard for her to work. And her husband was disabled, and so she was the primary breadwinner. That's a scary thing. Mm. That's a scary thing to happen. I prayed for her, and her pain went from like a 9 to a 0, and it was completely gone. And it was like huge, but she still had the knots on her joints. And a few weeks later, she reports to me that the arthritis has come back, the pain has come back. So I call her in for an inner healing session. We go through, and yes, we did release forgiveness. There was some trauma and pain there that needed to be healed. And once we get that pain healed, it's easy to forgive. And once she forgave, over the next several months, even the thick knuckles went away. She doesn't have arthritis anymore. She doesn't even have the physical symptoms anymore. And she has no pain.
Wow. Wow. Well, Asa was very game to do inner healing, which for a young man in his 20s.
Huge.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm game. And so the great thing about Jenny is Jenny loves to share what she's learned. And so by this time, we've kind of skipped forward in the story a little bit. He has graduated. He's been on these immunosuppressants for a number of years. He's gotten a job. He's moved away. And I was going to visit him, and Jenny had been doing inner healing on me and teaching us about it. And I thought, I'm going to go up there and visit my son and see, do a little inner healing on him. And that's kind of where it all started. And each time he would come back to visit us and come to church with us, he would get with Jenny and do an inner healing session. And I think probably between you and me, he did four or five?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was
4 inner healing sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about young people is that while they definitely have things that they have to work through, they seem quicker.
Pain and trauma. They don't have all the reinforcements that you have the older that you get.
Right, right. And at this age, you know, he didn't want to deal with that anymore either. He's very close to God and very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so he was game for it. But he went through about, like I said, 4 or 5 sessions. And he was back at, you know, his house in another state. And I heard God very clearly say, Ace's arthritis is healed. And I said, well, God, that's fine. Great. Amen. Awesome. But I'm not going to tell him that because he'll stop taking his medicine.
Such a mom. Such a mom. I love it.
Such a mom. And immediately God said again, Asa's arthritis is healed.
Wow.
He was very firm. And again, I said, amen. But I'm not going to tell him that. And that was a Sunday. Monday night, I had been on the phone with him. And right before we hung up, he said, Mom, I have something to tell you. And of course, when your kid says that, you're like, oh boy, I played it cool. Okay, yeah. What is it? What do you, you know, need to talk about? And he said, I've stopped taking my arthritis medication. Well, my first reaction was, are you kidding me? Why?
Right.
And so I did say, why? And he said, because I don't have any pain anymore.
Wow.
And I said, well, how long have you been off of it? And he said, 1 month. And I said, okay.
And so normally this would mean being off medicine for 1 month that he would have
severe pain. He would have been so fatigued. He probably wouldn't have been able to get to work. He would have been just in terrible pain in his legs, in his hands. And he said, I have no fatigue. I have no pain. He says, I believe I'm healed. And I said, well, let me tell you what God told me yesterday. And I told him, God told me that you were healed.
Wow.
And so he ended up having a rheumatologist appointment scheduled for like another month later or so. And they were going to do the blood work and things like that. And I said, well, I said, I'm believing in your healing. You're believing in your healing. We can tell by your symptoms. I said, but it'll be great just to see the blood work. And he goes and gets the blood work. And a few days later, it comes back. And he says, Mom, both tests are completely negative.
Wow.
No evidence whatsoever of rheumatoid arthritis. And again, this was after the four sessions of inner healing where he had released bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, and God had really spoke into that and spoke into where God was in all of that, what God thought about him, how God really did protect him. And it was just a beautiful thing that Asa saw God in a way that he hadn't seen him before. And it was because he was healed internally that he was able to release the anger and the unforgiveness.
That's so amazing. I love that so much. And so one of the things that I know also is that rheumatoid arthritis is actually an autoimmune disease.
Yes.
And what Henry Wright says about autoimmune disease is, well, it makes complete sense. Autoimmune. Mm-hmm. The body is attacking itself. And so when we are attacking ourselves in our minds and we have self-deprecating thoughts, I'm worthless, I'm bad, nobody cares about me, then we're attacking ourselves mm-hmm. in our mind. And so many times the body will start manifesting what's going on inside of our mind. It'll start attacking itself. I don't know what his thoughts on cancer are because I haven't studied that, but that's also kind of a self-attacking type thing. And so I got the privilege to interview Asa after this. And that was one of my questions was, Asa, has your thought life changed? And he reported to me, oh, yeah, completely different. And so when we think about ourselves differently and we line our minds up with the truth of who God says he is and who he says we are, and we start thinking correct thoughts, then everything comes into alignment. Even our physical bodies, it's really mind-blowing.
Well, and my prayer afterwards, after learning that he was completely negative on both tests, was that God would restore to him the ability to play the piano as long as he wanted to be able to play the piano.
Right.
And about, again, a month or so later, I just asked him one day, I said, hey, you know, what you been doing? He said, I've been playing my piano. And I said, oh, how long are you able to play now? He said, as long as I want. And I said, and you don't have any pain? He says, nope, no pain. He said, I played for an hour. I didn't have any pain.
Oh, my goodness, an hour.
Yeah, he had no pain. Right. That's amazing.
It's just phenomenal. It is absolutely phenomenal. And so Jesus came not only to save us from hell, but he came to give us life and life abundant. And abundant life has to do with our spirit, our body, our mind. He didn't die so that we could live these overcome, depressed, hard lives that we're just barely making it through.
Gutting it out.
Yeah. He died so that we can live in peace and joy and love and righteousness, and so that we can have freedom in our emotions, which deeply has to do with our beliefs in our mind, that we would walk in wholeness physically. It's the enemy that still kills and destroys. It's not the Lord. Yet a lot of the Western church blames it on the Lord all the time.
Right. Right.
Well, God, if God didn't want, you know, God's so in control and he's so sovereign that basically this disease is from him.
Right.
And he's doing something
good with it.
He allowed it. He allowed it. That is so like the weirdest doctrine, but he allowed it. And it's almost, well, I would say it is blame. It's blame on God in that since he didn't disallow it, that since he allowed it, it's his fault. And there are entire swaths of the Christian culture that's their main focus is God's sovereignty and him allowing it. And so their focus is almost blaming God. And their focus is not what Jesus paid for on the cross and what we have availability to now. And what happens is when you do lay hold of those things and you start believing them by faith, not by what you can see, then you start seeing them and then you start believing them more. And then you really realize how good he is. And then it changes everything.
It's hard to trust somebody that you blame.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're blaming someone for causing you suffering, grief, pain, loss, it is hard to love and trust that person.
And that's where we get the discrepancy between our logical, biblical mind and truth and our emotional center. The Bible refers to it as the heart. And so we logically know he's good, but experientially, it feels true that he's not. And so I can't make myself love him deeply if I'm also believing that he's bad and I don't trust him.
Yeah, and I like what you say about beliefs. God doesn't take away, he's not going to snatch a belief out of your hand.
Right, you can cast out a demon, you can't cast out a belief.
Right, you have to take ownership of that belief and do something about it. Jenny, it occurred to me earlier when you were talking about God wants to heal the whole person. That word we have for salvation in the Bible is actually sozo, and there's so much more to that word than what is actually translated, right?
Absolutely.
What is the sozo?
Yeah, mean? So sozo means a lot of different things. It means saved. It means, which would be like him saving us from hell. Delivered, that would be like spiritual deliverance. It means healed, that would be physical healing. It means wholeness. And so that would be our body, mind, and emotions, everything being made whole in his presence. And then we couple that with the other scriptures, like he came to give us life abundant.
Yeah, he wants that for us. And again, if we have a belief from the enemy, which the enemy's wanting us to blame God for the hardships, the trials, and things like that, then we can't get sozoed, so to speak.
Right. We are separated. The scripture refers to it as double-mindedness. Mm. And so even, and that's where I was stuck, is that I had so much scriptural knowledge. I had so much fervency to and dedication to him in my logic and in my actions. But it was hard for me to actually admit that deep down, I didn't feel like he unconditionally loved and accepted me and celebrated me. I felt very much rejected and flawed and like I had disappointed him. Mm. And so those beliefs were manifesting in my life and separating me from him, from the ability to hear him, because subconsciously I was afraid to hear from him.
Yes.
Because I either didn't trust him or I was mad at him or I felt like that he was mad at me. And so I didn't want to get in trouble and be reminded of how bad and wrong and flawed I am. So I would block myself from hearing. And then since I couldn't hear him, I used it as proof that I was bad, wrong, and flawed and that he was upset with me. So I was stuck in this block cycle,
right,
of these things. And so this is why it's so important to do inner healing and deliverance, is to get out of these cycles. And it changes everything. When we change the way that we see God and we come into alignment with truth, it changes how we see us. It changes what we believe about healing, about what we believe about deliverance. It opens up a life of miracles. And it really brings the kingdom of heaven here on earth, like Jesus prayed for.
Right. Well, and I think that in my mind, even with Asa, I'm so glad that he's healed of rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, that's a huge relief. But as a mom, I am so much more moved and glad and happy, and I don't even know, peaceful, that he's healed internally.
Mm.
Because the anxiety that he had, the anger that he struggled with, the fear, that was in some ways harder to watch.
That's also torment.
That's torment, right. And when those beliefs were changed, his body was changed, but internally he was also much freer. And to me, that's worth every penny, so to speak. You know, I mean, it really proved to me that God wants a whole healing, that he didn't just say, oh, you're healed of your arthritis, but still for the rest of your life, you're going to struggle with anxiety and anger and fear. And instead, no, he wants all of us to walk in freedom. And now I can't say that I walk in complete freedom right now. I'm still working through things, but I've had more than 50 years to get a lot of wrong beliefs. So I'm still working through that. So it's so encouraging to see my son walk in that freedom, because
right,
it encourages me.
And then it helps build your faith and untangle some of the lies you're believing.
Right. And he is so good about reminding me that too.
I love it. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This was revolutionary for me, that the kingdom was righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. that it's like you saying, it is about the mental, not just about the physical, not just about the spiritual, like being saved from hell part, but it is right now I can walk in peace and I can walk in joy internally at all times.
Right. I recently asked a friend, and I've been praying freedom and deliverance over her. And she said to me, I have no idea what it means to walk in total freedom.
Mm.
How many of us are thinking that?
At least she recognizes that. That's like step one.
Yeah, exactly. So I want total freedom. You know, I think about the apostles who said, to whom who shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And mm-hmm. so that perseverance in rooting out the false beliefs, and the enemy will try to block you, obviously, and send things to distract you. But the perseverance of rooting out the wrong beliefs and getting yourself in line with scripture and the truth is where that freedom comes from.
And then our body, our mind, and our spirits follow.
Mm.
And so then our body manifests that truth that's being believed in our minds. And then when we're out of agreement with these lies, we're out of agreement with the enemy. And that dismisses him from having a grip into our hearts and minds.
Right, exactly.
All right, so if you resonated with this podcast and it was intriguing to you, I encourage you to go listen to our other podcast on inner healing and deliverance. And maybe check out Henry Wright's ministry.
But it won't be long before they have another resource, right?
So I have some exciting news. I actually have a book coming out where I go over a lot of these concepts, where I really explain them individually and build upon them in a systematic way where it's easy to understand, with lots of engaging examples where you can see how it would apply to the real world. I have seen trauma healed. I've seen physical bodies healed. And really, it's going right back to what we were talking about today, about belief. If you would like to heal, if you would like to know more about this, then check out my new book, Rising from Trauma Together. It's an essential guide to healing your heartbreak for you and your child.
Until next time, we bless you to walk in spirit and in truth.